If there's one thing we've learned from Doctor Who,
it's that education matters.
Access to a quality education
makes a difference in every aspect of someone's life.
It can be the determining factor between despair and hope,
poverty and stability,
even death and life.
Doctor Who fans can help change this.
This October,
representatives from your favorite Doctor Who podcasts
and some very special guests
are coming together to record podcast commentaries for the stories of
season 26.
The final season of the classic series of Doctor Who.
That's 14 episodes of Classic Who.
With more than 50 podcasters,
authors,
and fans participating.
Including a special commentary featuring Sophie Aldred, who played Ace.
Wicked.
These special podcast commentaries
won't be available on any one show's feed.
We're offering them exclusively to listeners who provide a donation
to an organization working to improve access to education.
Here's what you have to do.
Make a donation of $10 or more
to the Malala Fund
or another of our suggested organizations.
Then send a copy of your receipt
to GallifreyStands@realitybombpodcast.com.
And you'll get information on where to download
your special commentary podcast
later this month.
You can find more information and details
about the various organizations we're supporting
at
realitybombpodcast.com/WhoForSchools.
Last year, in the Doctor Who episode Rosa,
we were reminded that
an education makes you unstoppable.
Let's help more people to be unstoppable.
And just like the Doctor,
let's continue to be kind.
To be kind. To be kind.
To be kind.
To be kind.
To be kind.
Doctor Who podcast by a fan and her dad.
No, it's a fan and his daughter. Season 1, The Sensorites. Episode 1, Strangers in Space.
This is the first Doctor episode that we've watched for the podcast.
Yeah, I think that I like the first Doctor more than the other ones I've seen. In the other ones I've seen, he was, like, grumpy all the time, and the only really thing that made me like him was the fact he was doing the tinkering stuff, and that was cool. But he reminded me of Tom Baker in quite a bit of this.
Yeah.
And Matt Smith once or twice, but mostly Tom Baker.
In what ways?
Well, there was the bit where he was, like, saying, oh, we should stay, and oh, all right, then open the doors. Like, just the way he said that.
Yeah, right. I can imagine Tom Baker saying that. So you've seen The Daleks. And I think I showed you that after you'd seen the 50th anniversary, after you'd seen The Day of the Doctor, and that was an attempt to try and woo you towards Classic Who. And I thought that it might be less scary if it was really old. Which is
and it
possibly
failed. Your attempt failed.
It might be the first time in history that someone has tried to use the Daleks as a safe, less scary option. Yeah, this is probably doomed.
Yeah.
That attempt was exterminated with extreme prejudice.
There are a couple of bits in this where it was like really tense, even though not very much was happening. And I really liked their like, okay, you don't have great special effects, let's not use them. Mm. Just show people's reactions to things or just a hand or something.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that.
The hand was really effective and the little device, which seemed to be made out of forks, which was burning through and removed the lock. And then the way, what was it? Was it John who was either one who was
yeah.
in there? The way he did his hand, so you had those, the like yeah. mirroring the sensorites.
And when he moved his hand, I was like, but wait, that's a human hand. Mm.
It was the echo, yeah. wasn't it, suggesting a connection between them?
Yeah.
I also liked that at the end, and because they talked about the mind control, I was looking at them all thinking, has yeah. Chesterton lost his mind? Is he being
yeah.
why is he moving? It was very yeah. tense considering almost nothing was happening.
Yeah. This episode was good, the way of like setting up the rest of the
It'll be interesting to see what direction it goes in.
Yeah.
And exactly what those sensorites are up to, trapping these people but feeding them.
Yeah.
John is not in a good place.
I have a theory about John. I think maybe he's stronger than the other two at like resisting them. So they're like trying to put more and more layers of control on.
And maybe he just hasn't, like they just went to sleep somehow.
Yeah.
But he didn't because he was stronger.
Yeah.
It's interesting because they also talked about him getting violent,
mm.
which wasn't obviously the experience Susan and Barbara had. There's a lot of questions. I think you're right. This is a really effective start. You've also seen an unearthly child.
I have a very different memory of the way Barbara looked.
Oh, really?
Her hair's so, like, up and round, and I do remember that.
It's so long ago now. I mean, do I remember people having hair like that? I'm not sure. They certainly wore their hair like that when I was, you know, after I was born, but or some people did, but yeah, it is getting a long time ago now, isn't it?
I'm struck, like, probably I thought this the first time, but I'd just forgotten, like, how much they treat Susan like a little girl, even though she's not, like, she's young, but she's not a child.
No, that's kind of how she's presented, though, isn't it? And she was supposed to be at school in an unearthly child. She's a student at the school. So clearly we look at her and it's like, well, that's a young woman. That's not a teenager. But the part she is playing in this is, I think, is a teenager or a teenager equivalent because she's a Time Lord. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if they mention how old she is at some. But the whole mythology of the Time Lords is not in place at this stage, so they may not. It's not a very rewarding role for her. I think she, when she leaves the series, you know, she's still, I listened to an interview with Caroline Ford, the actor, that Deb Stanish from Verity, she did. And I think it was a little frustrating. And also I think the way that the role was written originally or described before they started making the series made her sound a little bit more dynamic. But Barbara, I think, is a really interesting companion. Like, she's very strong, and even though she doesn't have very good eyesight apparently, or is not very good at noticing signs which read water when she's looking for water, it just goes straight past that.
It was down at, like, it knee height.
That's true. That's true. The camera was, we had an advantage because the camera was pointed directly at it. Just so we knew she was heading the wrong way. We're heading the wrong way. But she's really brave, and she's very protective of Susan as well. But then when it turned out that John, you know, wasn't the threat that they thought he might be, after she'd been really clever in evading him, very quickly turns to looking after him and even humouring him a little bit. It's like, yes, you protect us.
What I didn't like was that where they've got the men and that one space lady, whatever, talking, and then there's Susan and Barbara cooking the dinner.
And what does Ian say? How's it coming along? He's not even doing anything. He's just standing there. Yes, as much sexism exists in the world today, there was more. And we saw that. Did you watch the whole of the Crotons? And we saw them coming down the slope. And I think that was Victoria and the Second Doctor and Jamie. And Jamie's boldly striding on ahead. And the Doctor says, Victoria, come and, you know, take my hand and I'll help you.
Yeah, but that's because Victoria's hopeless and a terrible person.
Wow.
Just about classic series in general. I love classic series title sequences. They're so cool, but I don't like the music here as much.
Oh, really? See, I was just about to say, and I have a real soft spot for this. I think in a way that to me, the theme tune sounds more futuristic in the beginning than it does now.
It sounds like bare to me.
It's very sparse, the arrangement,
I like it just a bit later in the classic series when it's not that much different. I really like it in the Pertwee's era. The music there is really cool. But I don't know, I don't like it here.
Yeah, you weren't dancing to this music. But that was one of the exciting things in the 50th anniversary when it started with the original music. And I was, Even though this is not the music I grew up with. Because you've seen that. And imagine no one has seen anything like looked like that, that title sequence on TV before.
And I think one thing that's interesting is that they, like, totally don't notice the fact that it's in black and white. You can end it anytime now.